Crunch Time: How to Be Your Best When It Matters Most. Written by Rick Peterson and Judd Hoekstra. Chapter 7. Fixed Mindset or Growth Mindset? One of the most influential books I read during my research for this book is Carol Dweck's Mindset: The New Psychology of Success. I highly encourage you to read it, as just sharing its big idea within this section will not do it justice. Dweck's research teaches us that the view you adopt of yourself, your mindset, profoundly affects the way you lead your life and the success you will or will not achieve. Your mindset is the view you have of your qualities and characteristics, where they come from, and whether they can change. Dweck juxtaposes two different mindsets at opposite ends of the spectrum, the fixed mindset and the growth mindset. A fixed mindset comes from the belief that your qualities are carved in stone. Who you are is who you are. Characteristics such as intelligence, creativity, and athletic ability are fixed traits rather than something that can be developed. The fixed mindset leads to a desire to prove yourself over and over. Your self-worth is tightly linked with your performance. Challenges are seen as threats, something to be avoided. Criticism is seen as an attack on your character, also to be avoided. In contrast, a growth mindset comes from the belief that your qualities are things you can cultivate through effort. While people differ greatly in temperament, aptitude, talents, and interests, everyone can change and grow through application and experience. In other words, people with a growth mindset see themselves as a work in progress. Having a growth mindset encourages learning and effort. It leads you to embrace challenges because you don't see them as threats, but as opportunities to learn. If you truly believe you can improve at something, you will be much more driven to learn and practice. An objective critique of your performance is seen as valuable feedback and openly embraced. The hallmark of the growth mindset is the passion for sticking with it, especially when things are not going well. Your mindset has a critical effect on how you view pressure situations. As you've likely surmised by now, people with a fixed mindset put a lot of pressure on themselves. They avoid performing under pressure or give up easily when they face the inevitable adversity or setbacks. In contrast, people with a growth mindset embrace pressure situations, recognize they won't be perfect, and continue to learn and improve. While Dweck writes about these two mindsets as an either-or for simplicity's sake, it's possible to have a fixed mindset in one area of your life and a growth mindset in another area. For example, I have a fixed mindset when it comes to my ability to dance. I see myself as having little to no ability and almost no chance of improving. I avoid dancing like the plague. In contrast, I have a growth mindset when it comes to my ability to golf. I realize I am a work in progress and am excited to continue practicing and improving. Whatever mindset you have in a given area of your life will guide you and your success in that area. Based on my current fixed mindset around dancing, you won't see me on Dancing with the Stars or even a local dance floor anytime soon. In contrast, you will see me regularly practicing my golf game, aspiring to one day compete for a club championship. The best part about what Dweck shares about mindsets? If you have a fixed mindset, it isn't fixed. Anyone, including you, can learn to develop a growth mindset. When things don't go your way, ask yourself this: what can I learn from this to decrease the likelihood it will happen again? From Nightmare to Success. Susan Torroella is a dynamic and successful leader. She has a track record of awards, including but not limited to receiving Fortune Small Businesses Boss of the Year, being an Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year finalist, and being one of PharmaVoice's 100 Most Inspiring Leaders in Life Sciences. As you might expect from a leader of this caliber, Susan knows pressure. She was the CEO of Columbia Medcom Group from 2001 to 2009. She recently spoke with executive leadership coach Lelia O'Connor about pressures she's faced. In Susan's own words, She thrives on pressures such as deadlines and speaking in front of large groups of people. She calls these mini-pressures. She also tells the story of the single greatest pressure she's ever faced, having her company go under. I had brought out the prior owners of the company. I wanted to provide jobs for people and create an amazing culture. The company was my legacy. For years, we were enormously successful and winning awards like Baltimore Magazine's Best Places to Work. In 2008, the economy contracted, negatively impacting our business and many others. Even though we weren't connected to Lehman Brothers in any way when they went under, it set off a chain reaction. Investors everywhere were concerned. Some panicked. Our investor called the note on our loan, telling us we needed to close the company and give all our assets to them as partial payment. It was 2 weeks before Christmas when I got the letter, forcing my company into foreclosure. It was a nightmare. I had invested everything into this company, my money, my time, and my heart. It was my dream. Now it was crushed. As I look back in the months leading up to the end, there were parts I definitely didn't handle well. The nightmare was so enormous to me that I couldn't sleep. I'm talking all night long for multiple days in a row. As a result, I couldn't think straight. To add fuel to the fire, I wasn't eating and was losing a lot of weight. There were a number of things that helped me turn the corner and move from threat to opportunity. I had a great support system. My mother gave me perspective, telling me over and over, everything will be okay. She helped me see that as awful as I was feeling, my children weren't going to go hungry and we weren't going to be homeless. I also found relief and optimism after reading through a profile in Fast Company of a highly successful leader. In the profile, the leader mentioned very matter-of-factly, "My business went under and now I'm doing this." It made me realize that in our society we don't talk about failure. But all of these really successful people have failed many times and then went on to do great things. I realized this was temporary and I could do the same. I've reinvented myself in another career. Note, Susan is currently serving as Executive Vice President at Wellness Corporate Solutions. I've adopted the mantra that a setback just sets up your next comeback. The leader profile in Fast Company also helped me to stop taking the loss so personally. I am not a failure. I did not bring on the financial crisis that caused our lender to call our note and force us to close our business. This business endeavor simply didn't survive for a variety of reasons, many of which were out of my control. Another thing I learned to do was not to let the business going under affect how I performed in other areas of my life, like parenting. In fact, we used the business going under as a learning moment to teach our kids lessons on perspective and how to manage finances. Once I got past the initial shock that I couldn't stop the foreclosure and everyone was going to lose their jobs, I redefined what success looked like in this situation. For us, success was servicing our clients in the best way possible, right until the very last minute. Success was also going through mock interviews and helping every employee get a job. As I think back on that situation, that was the toughest pressure I have faced in my life. I realize anything I'm facing in the present seems minuscule in comparison. I have lots of confidence, because if I got through that, and I did, I can get through anything. The optimist's outlook on undesirable events. What happened was an unlucky situation, not personal, and really just a setback, not permanent, for this one of many goals, not pervasive. Martin Seligman, educator and author of Learned Optimism.